Good morning, everyone. Let's pray before we begin this morning. Father, we thank you for today. We pray for your word, that it would penetrate deep into our hearts and bring transformation, Father. Lord, may we always go into your word to find the gospel, Lord, to find the good news of how you have died for us and what you do for us, God. Be with us this morning as we pray, as we worship together. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to read from Mark chapter 15. I'm just going to read two parts from Mark chapter 15, verse 6 to verse 15, and then verse 33 to verse 39. Okay. Now at the feast, he used to release for them any one prisoner whom they requested. The man named Barabbas had been imprisoned with the insurrectionists who had committed murder in the insurrection. The crowd went up and began asking him to do as he had been accustomed to do. Pilate answered them, saying, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" For he was aware that the chief priests had handed him over because of envy. The chief priests stirred up the crowd to ask him to release Barabbas for them instead. Answering again, Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with him whom you call the king of the Jews?" They shouted back, "Crucify him." But Pilate said to them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him." Wishing to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas for them, and after having Jesus scourged, he handed him over to be crucified. Verse 33, when the sixth hour came, darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour. At the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they began saying, "Behold, he is calling for Elijah." Someone ran and filled a sponge filled with sour wine and put it on a reed and gave him a drink, saying, "Let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. When the centurion, who was standing right in front of him, saw the way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." Okay. So a bit of context. Mark chapter 15, second last chapter in the book of Mark. So we're coming up to, obviously, the crucifixion of Jesus, as we see part of it in the passage today. And and we get to verse 7, where all of a sudden, Mark turns to this figure, Barabbas. Jesus leading up until the scene, one thing, if you read the narrative starting from the Garden of Gethsemane, where he gets betrayed by Jesus, one thing you see over and over again is that Jesus gets handed off over and over again. So Judas greets him, and in a way, he hands him or delivers him over to the crowd, or the cronies of the chief priests. So you have Judas delivering or handing Jesus over to the people that are coming to arrest Jesus, and then you have that crowd delivering Jesus over to the chief priests, who try him, who want to find guilt in him. And then you have the chief priests, who then deliver him over to the whole council, who try him again. And then the whole council of, I guess you can call them Jewish elders, then deliver him over to Pilate, to have Pilate to basically kill him. And so what you see here is this constant deflection of responsibility. Like, we want him killed, but we don't want to do it. And so they keep delivering Jesus over and over again. And so when they finally deliver him over to Pilate, the Jews that had wanted Jesus dead probably thought, okay, now Pilate's going to do the job. Yet Pilate has a very difficult time trying to find guilt with Jesus. And so this is where we come into verse 7. And you'll notice that Pilate is doing everything in his power to not kill Jesus. And he says, like, "Hey, how about I just release Jesus back to you?" Because he doesn't want that responsibility. "Let me deliver Jesus back to you, whom you delivered to me." But the crowd goes, "You know, we don't want him. We want somebody else, this figure named Barabbas." And it's funny because, you know, chief priests stirred up the crowd to ask him to release Barabbas for them instead, where Pilate, you know, everybody doesn't want the responsibility. But one of the things that we see here in this passage is, especially when it's the crowd that says, "Crucify him," They say that twice. Or Mark makes a point to say in verse 13, verse 14, is the crowd that wants to crucify him. And so one of the things that we learn here is that there's no one who is free from responsibility for the death of Jesus. Judas, the chief priests, the crowd that delivered or that arrested Jesus, the crowd that are now saying, crucify Jesus, they all have a hand in his death. They are all guilty, Pilate included, because it was Pilate that ultimately did it. But Mark's point is, it's everyone. So that's one of the things that we can take from this passage. What's also interesting from this passage is this figure Barabbas. Now, what is the significance of naming this man? Because it really doesn't matter who this man is. Because one of the when we look at it, I guess one of the spiritual truths that we can draw very easily is that there is a guilty man and there is an innocent man. And who ends up going to jail and or who ends up dying? Well, it's the innocent man. And so we're like, okay, that makes complete theological sense in that Jesus died for our sins. He's the innocent man. We are the guilty party. He paid the price for us. And so there's no real need to name this person. But in the case of the Bible, anytime there's a name that doesn't really need a name, there's probably some sort of meaning to it. If you know any Hebrew, basic elementary Hebrew or Aramaic, which I kind of do having studied seminary, I never took a Greek course or a Hebrew course or a Greek course for that matter. But you'll know if you study it that Barabbas isn't necessarily like a proper name. It's more like a title or a nickname. Like, well, I can't think of an example. But there is, earlier in Mark, in the book of Mark, Jesus heals this guy named Bartimaeus. That's not his name either. That's more of a title. There's a disciple called Bartholomew. That's also not his name. That's the title as well. Because the word bar in Hebrew and Aramaic means son. So bar, son of Thomas, son of Timaeus, Bartimaeus, Bartholomew, bar Abbas then means son of whatever Abbas is. Now, Abbas, we were like, what does that kind of sound like? Anyone want to venture a guess? No one? I know, it's early in the morning. Abbas, take away the S. Abba, son of the father. So maybe Mark is making like this, I don't know, like an Easter egg that you'll find in Marvel movies. Like, he's making like, he's trying to let the reader know, like, the crowd asks for Barabbas, a son of the father, yet they have a son of the father here that they can release free. One of the things at the very beginning of Mark's gospel that he's trying to do is to tell us who Jesus is. This is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Son of the Father. And so all throughout, you have Mark dealing with Jesus' identity. And now we have Jesus' identity come in the full. And yet the crowd still doesn't recognize it. We want that Son of the Father. We don't want this Son of the Father. We want a false one as opposed to a real one. And it's not just the crowd. It's a chief priest. It's a Pilate. Again, everyone has responsibility for handing Jesus over. And one of the things that Barabbas was imprisoned for was insurrection. He wasn't just a robber. He rebelled against Rome, the kingdom of Rome. He rejected Rome as a leader or as the ruler, being Jewish, proud Jewish nationalist, and he got in prison. Right, verse 7 says, Barabbas had been in prison with the insurrectionists who had committed murder in the insurrection. Probably killed some Roman citizens or Roman centurions. They committed treason, and so that's why he was in prison. And so he gets freed for his crime of committing treason against the kingdom of Rome. And it's interesting to see that Jesus gets put into prison for him instead. Jesus also gets put into prison or dies for us as we commit treason against the kingdom of God. So you have all these things that Mark is putting in that we can draw. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's crazy, right? That Jesus replaced Barabbas. Jesus replaced us, who should have all the guilt. We are all responsible, right, for our sins, yet Jesus goes in place of us for our treason against the kingdom of God. And now we begin to see some of the good news, some of the gospel that Mark is writing about. So that should be good enough in terms of a devotional, right? But there's a reason why I wanted to read verse 33 to verse 39. Because one of the key things that Mark is trying to do in his gospel is really highlight who is the Son of God. And at the end of verse 39, we have the centurion who says, wow, this truly was the Son of God. And so we have Mark saying, like, this is how he is a Son of God. This is what the Son of God does. And so verse 33, we see this is exactly, or one of the hallmarks or the calling cards of what makes Jesus the Son of God. What makes him the King of the Jews? In Mark 15, you see this repeated 5 or 6 times, this term King of the Jews. This is what he does. This is his characteristic as Son of God. In verse 33, okay. When the 6th hour came, darkness fell over the whole land until the 9th hour. So we'll look at that. You know, there will be some scientists that say, oh, maybe there was an eclipse, and they'll try to, like, trace back to see if there was an eclipse at that time. It was possible, and so, like, maybe eclipse, what does it mean? Or darkness, what does it mean? Maybe God is sad. God turned his face away. There just happened to be an eclipse. It was a dramatic moment. Maybe Mark made it up. Mark is putting this device of darkness into the scene because, remember, or here's another thing that we need to know. Jesus comes in as the sacrifice, as the Lamb of God. Where does this image come from? As a sacrifice, or this idea of sacrifice to cover the whole population. This image gets introduced in Exodus with the Passover as a final plague or final sign that God is above Pharaoh, right? We all know this story well. God sends the angel of death over the whole land of Egypt to strike down the firstborn. And anyone that had put the blood of the Passover lamb on their doorposts, on the doorsills, the angel of death would pass over, right? Hence, Passover. But what happened? What was the sign of the angel of death, the sign that angel of death was coming? Darkness prevailed over the whole land. And so that's what Mark is saying here. As Jesus dies, as his blood is being spilled, darkness is coming. But darkness means judgment. It's a symbol for judgment. Judgment is coming over the whole land. But instead of judgment, you know, it's the exact same as Exodus. The elements are all there. The lamb, the blood of the lamb, Jesus, his blood is being spilled. And because we are the guilty parties. Everyone in the story is guilty. There's no one that is innocent except Jesus. So judgment should fall upon everyone. The crowd who's saying, crucify Jesus. Pilate who releases Barabbas, the chief priest. Judgment should fall upon them, but because of Jesus, of the blood that he spills, of the choice that he makes to go to the cross, judgment falls upon him instead. Passes over us, but falls upon him. And that's the reality of the cross. Like, we look at the cross and we're like, oh God, thank you for your sacrifice, right? Thank you for giving us life. Thank you for enabling us to be free from bondage. And that's all good, but I think we also have to remind ourselves all the time that it's not just about our freedom, but it's also the fact that the price must be paid by somebody. Like, if someone treats, like, if we got a nice steak dinner, we didn't have to pay for it, it's like, yay, awesome. Or whatever your favorite food is. Steak might not be. Mine currently is, like, Korean barbecue. And, like, really nice Korean barbecue with, like, all the sides. And anyways, a price needs to be paid. Someone needs to pay for it. It doesn't just come for free. Someone has to pay for it. And that's what Jesus is doing. He's paying the price. Instead of us receiving the punishment for our sin, for our responsibility, it falls upon him. And I think that's why when the centurion looks at Jesus, he goes, wow, this really is the Son of God. Looking at the way he died, he was still triumphant, in control, until his death. And so, you know, some questions for us, or points of reflection for us as we worship and pray today. Now, how, you know, going back to early with Barabbas being released, you know, how often do we turn to a quote-unquote lesser son of the Father? That we want something else other than Jesus. And it's not to guilt us. I mean, there are certainly times, I'm sure, that we can think of where, oh man, I chose this instead of choosing Jesus. But there's also a lot of times when we don't know, right? And it's not to say, you need to repent. Of course we should repent. But maybe a better question to ask is like, Lord, can you show me in my heart where I turn to other things other than you? Other than, you know, where even like turning to advice from friends. I'm not saying we shouldn't, but is the first place we turn to our advice from friends or to Jesus? And just to like pray it out with him. Right? And I would encourage you to continue doing that in times where we feel like, oh, I don't feel like I'm praying enough. I'm like, okay, just ask him. Lord, what is it that you say? And pour out your heart before him. Say like, this is really difficult for me. I don't get it. I don't know what's happening. Would you come and shed some light? Help me take the next step. Another point of reflection, you know, is do we know what our King has done for us? That he paid the price. Again, I mentioned earlier, maybe it depends on which tradition you come from in church. Some church traditions stress more like, God paid the price for you, and so it's always in our head. I feel like more so now in, I guess, Western Christianity, it's like, God loves you. He wants you to have like great and amazing things. He wants to bless you and all this, and focuses on the good, right, of the cross. But the fact is, when we look to the cross, the one behind me, do we think of the price that he paid? That he took the wrath of God? And maybe we can pray every day for a greater revelation of what he has done for us. That's it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your love for us. And Jesus, we thank you for all that you went through so that we could be free. Father, I pray that every day we would be reminded of what you had to go through, of the judgment that we were destined for. That we would be reminded that we are not innocent. Yet, you deem us to be innocent. That you have made us righteous. You declared us to be righteous because of what you have done. Lord, may we always be in gratitude. Teach us daily, God, of how to live this out, God. To apply the gospel in every single part of our lives. We thank you, Lord. He formed my
my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call. And hears me when I call.
Yeah, let's just spend a few more moments reflecting, asking the Holy Spirit to come, reflecting on the fact that judgment falls upon the King, the Son of God, instead of us. Just let Holy Spirit speak to you for a moment. Turn to our prayer items. Let's pray for those in our community that are that have cancer and are undergoing chemo, radiation therapy, and other surgeries. Let's pray for those who are sick with different, sicknesses, illnesses, but also have yet to receive Christ. Let's pray for open hearts that they would turn to Jesus and just ask Him for healing spiritually and physically. Let's lift up those who have various non-cancer related infirmities. Let's pray for healing. healing. Let's pray for perseverance as and continue to pray for all these infirmities. Let's lift up those in our community looking for jobs. Let's pray for open. Let's pray for those in our community who are dealing with COVID through various stages of recovery. Let's also pray for our frontline medical workers. Let's pray for God's protection and safety over them and a quick recovery for those who are dealing with COVID. Let's pray for those who are looking for jobs. Let's pray for open doors and opportunities. And let's also pray for God's wisdom and discernment to come over our brothers as they take these next steps. Turn to our mission focus. Let's pray for China. Let's pray for SP BJ, SPSH, and the Chongs, and all the churches in China. Let's pray for God to move over the land, God to protect that land as they're going through, especially for city of Shanghai and I guess Beijing now. Let's pray for God to just watch over that, his people. Let's lift up the board. Let's pray that they'll be filled with the wisdom of God, as well as just practical steps on how to in decisions of the church. Let's pray that God would just move strongly in their midst as they meet together. Let's pray for our different fellowship ministries, young adults, men's ministry, women's ministry. Let's pray for everyone that's involved in these ministries and being ministered to, that they would receive the love of God and that their lives would be transformed, that they would grow and that they would meet Jesus or continue to know more of Him and the relationship that they have with Him through these ministries. Lift up SP 2.0, the Vision Fund, the Benefactor, Building Resources. Let's just pray that God's Word would be completed and that we as a church would be fervent in our prayer about this. Pregnancies, let's lift up our ladies, sisters who are pregnant, Joan, Common, Fiona, Leslie, Tyon, Winnie, and others. Let's just pray for uneventful pregnancies, that the delivery would be smooth. I heard that fathers are allowed in the delivery rooms now, so praise God that they can be together for this event. And let's just pray for really uneventful pregnancies. Let's lift up the house churches for tonight: Chai Tea Fortress, Jia, Lido, Line Rock, New Conduit, TST, Westville. Let's pray for God to move powerfully in our meetings tonight, people would gather as one body and just share every part of their lives together. Thank you for your word. We thank you that in your word you reveal who you are, God, and what you have done for us. Father, may we have that same passion that Paul did to know nothing but the cross and Christ crucified, Lord. Father, I pray, God, that we would continue to seek that out in our lives, that we would learn about the cross, God, that we'd seek and see what implications that it has for us, Lord, what it does for us, not that we have to do, not that we have to continue striving, but that you have already done it. God, may that truth penetrate into every single area of our lives, Father, that it would free us, Lord, to be who you created us to be, Lord.
We thank you, Father. We love you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. See you tomorrow.